Old school.
I'm from less. Dirt, 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 dirt. I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 dirt. I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt.
Gotta get back to
I'm
it.
I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 dirt. I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt.
Gotta get back to it.
Welcome back to Throttled Up the Podcast. Exciting night tonight. Back in studio. Only one more week, I believe, Matt. We said we're going to take a break, so we'll take next week off to rest up, to get into the full season here of racing action and Throttled Up.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to do it every Wednesday night again.
I'm excited as well and ready to go. We've got some fun things to talk about tonight, but before we do, let's run down our sponsors here for everybody, starting off with In the Fast Lane.
InTheFastLaneProductions.com is the premier place in Southern Indiana to see all of the racing action from Brownstown Speedway on Saturday nights. Go and get your premier account now, especially headed into the off season. It's a great opportunity to review all the racing action from 2018 as well as past seasons.
Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee is the place for any race fan to get racing memorabilia. Mark and Jamie Schaefer will work to make whatever custom photo product you would like. From prints, keychains, magnets, buttons, and much more, stop by the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee booth and let Bronze Bobby know what they can do for you. Don't let your Saturday night go without the excitement and live action at Southern Indiana's premier dirt track, Brownstown Speedway. Racing every Saturday night, starting with the Indiana Icebreaker March 16th.
Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who cares about you. They can handle any problem from termites, bed bugs, ants, spiders, etc. They also do lawn care. Where else can you keep the bugs out of your house and your yard looking sharp? Reach out to them today on Facebook at Miller's Termite and Pest Control, email at pest_n_peace@yahoo.com, or by phone at 812-767-5657. P3 Graphics is one of Indiana's premier suppliers for motorsports wraps and apparel. P3 Graphics offers great pricing along with some of the best customer service in the industry. Give them a try on your next project and you won't be sorry. You can contact them via email, phone, or on Facebook on the P3 Graphics page. To find out more, go to www.p3graphics.com. Again, that's www.p3graphics.com.
Gilpin Electric and Generator Services is a customer-first company that takes care of all your electric and generator needs. They are your go-to dealer, installer, and generator service company. Don't be stuck without power during severe weather this year. Contact Gilpin Electric and Generator Services on Facebook or call them at 812-953-1261.
We've all heard horror stories about insurance companies and insurance agents. Let me tell you about my family's agent, Tommy Taylor. Tommy is an agent at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance and is a multi-line agent that can keep all your insurance in one place. Why is a dedicated agent so important? When you have the unexpected occur, you'd much rather know the person on the other end of the phone. Contact info for Tommy, 812-372-4483 at extension 2447, or look him up on Facebook at Tommy Taylor, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Don't be another horror story. Stop knocking on wood and relying on a 1-800 number. Trust Tommy Taylor today.
Hey, give Brad at Brad Orrin Customs a call for bodies, interiors, fab work, setup, and consulting. With Brad Orrin Customs, you can stick them deeper. Call in today at 812-216-3900.
Wanted to start a podcast but don't know where to start? APR Podcast Studios in Crothersville, Indiana is available to record, edit, and produce a podcast in-house for you for a minimal fee. Don't waste hundreds or even thousands of dollars trying to get started. Let APR Podcast Studios do the hard work, and you worry about the content and entertainment. APR Podcast Studios is available by email at aprpodcaststudios@gmail.com or by phone at 812-455-1313. APR Podcast Studios in Crothersville, Indiana is excited to announce a new show coming to the APR weekly lineup. Hoosier Hardwoods Live will be a weekly hunting and fishing podcast that you won't want to miss. Co-hosts Matt Lamar and Mule Robinson bring their expertise and experience to the airwaves as they discuss techniques, products, locations, and maybe even a few mistakes they've made in the woods before. Don't miss all of the content from Hoosier Hardwoods Live coming out later in February. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
All right, let's check here real quick. Mike, I know you're on there.
Brownstown Speedway just said they can't hear anything.
Can you guys hear us? I don't know if it was just the iPads not coming through. Let's see if anybody answers me.
Can you guys hear us talk?
I'm guessing. Let's see. Well, Blake Daniel says it's silent, so let's see here. I don't know if I can adjust that from here. Let's see.
They said they can hear the voices.
Okay, so they can hear us. I don't know. I don't know why it happened there. It went through the recording, so all right. We're done with that anyway. So I do want to say one thing there that was in the sponsor reads. Kind of an exciting thing coming up. Going to start next Tuesday. Hoosier Hardwoods Live is a new outdoor hunting and fishing podcast presented by Matt Lamar and Mural Robinson. APR Podcast Studios is working with them on. So if you get the chance, check that out. Go and subscribe. There'll also be a Facebook live show at their Hoosier Hardwoods Outdoors page. And check that out and support those guys as well. Before we get into anything, I want to shout out this because I know Oh Boy's on here tonight.
He's already asked me to sign his forehead, so I don't know what.
First and foremost, I want to know why it was you and not why is he not asking me? But then I'm afraid where he's going to say he'd like me to sign. So I'm just going to leave it alone at that. But I do want to give a huge shout out to him.
I was going to bring that up too.
He sent us a picture last night, and all I'm going to say, I'm not going to get into too much of it because I want it to be somewhat of a surprise, but he came to us in the off season and said, you know, he really appreciated the episode he was on, and you know, we tried to kind of help him, you know, raise some money that would get him back on the track. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get back last year, but coming out with a new car this year. And he said, I want to do something special for Throttled Up. And he put us on the car in a way that I never imagined. Like, I thought he might take a sticker or maybe get a bigger sticker and stick it somewhere. But huge shout out to Oh Boy and what he did for us. And I really appreciate it, Zach. It means the world.
Yeah, I was very impressed. Definitely put a smile on my face when he sent us the picture last night. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. And
yeah, I was in bed and my wife's like, what are you so excited about? And I'm like, you just won't understand. You just won't understand.
It's race cars.
Yeah, you won't get it, but that's okay. Still exciting. But we do have a guest in studio, Matt, if you want to go ahead and introduce who we've got with us tonight.
Justin Joy, Hornet driver, looking possibly in the future to move up in some classes. So going to bring him on. Justin, you're starting a trend. You're the first Hornet driver we've had on the show, so welcome.
Thank you.
Justin, if you want to move that mic a little bit closer to you, you can swing it right up in there. Yep, there you go. That'll be better.
These microphones are like girlfriends. You got to keep them close.
Yeah. If not, they run off. So, Justin, where did the you know, this is something I like to ask every driver, and I don't know, some of our listeners may kind of get tired of it, but it's always interesting to me in the sense that, you know, what is it about racing that drew you to this sport?
Well, it starts back with my great-grandpa, Ted Pfeiffer. He ran USAC back in the 1960s, and then he actually went and tried out for the Indy 500 cars in 1963. He got shot down. He was in World War II and had some mortar fire that caused him blind in one eye, so they disqualified him out of the tryouts for that, and then he ended up coming back, restoring the whole car, and then it's actually sitting at the museum up in Indianapolis. So it's kind of started there, and then my Uncle Jim and them started racing there at Brownstown in 1998 in the Bomber Series, and he ran that for a good while, him and his boy Jim, or James, most people knew him JJ, and then he ended up going up to Super Stocks and ran in for a little bit, and then I believe it was 2016 decided to get out of it.
I talked to a Jim, so it's been 3 years ago now, and he told me about his dad and trying to get in the Indy 500 there, and that is an amazing story. He said he actually got to turn the laps, and then they found out that he was blind in that eye, and then told him he couldn't race in the race. So,
yep, and then once the USAC actually found that out, that he had been racing for like 4 or 5 years with a, you know, one eye, they pulled his license, and that was that. So,
wow.
I'm looking here. They're saying they're having trouble hearing him, and I think it's because I don't think it's coming through our mics is the reason why. So everybody, I know this is awful, but I'm gonna jump. We're gonna jump off this one real quick, and we will bring up a new Facebook Live right off the bat that should have our mics coming through. There must be something not clicked correctly, so. Let me jump on and do that real quick, and we'll come right back.
Brother, Mike says move the mic closer. Is it? Can you not hear him at all, or is it just low?
See, I think it's. I don't think it's coming through because that's why this didn't come through.
Okay.
So everybody jump back on with us here. Let me see. Because it should come through pretty clearly.
I know we're a lot louder than he is, so that's.
Yeah, let's see if we get this on there. Throttled. Let's see. Always something.
Technology's supposed to be easier.
I'm out of practice, man. I took a sick day Sunday, didn't do one, so out of practice. Let's see here. Let's jump back on. Let me see if I can get this up. All right, let's see when we get some people back on here with us. This should be much better, hopefully. Get somebody on here with us and see.
All right, can you guys hear us now?
Yeah, let's make sure this is clear. Jeremy, and sounds better.
Can you and Mike, can you guys hear us? Justin, go ahead and talk in there too and see.
Hello?
Can you guys hear now? Nobody's responding.
No, nobody's talking now. Now they can't hear any of us.
Mike, did you hear Justin also?
Okay. Good to go. Yep, that's what I thought it was. Thank you, guys. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Always got to keep you guys on your toes, making sure you're there. Oh, boy, found his way back, so that means everybody else should be able to. So, I don't see Derek Bottoms, but who knows? He's a karate class or...
Hey, we'll throw that out there, though, that Billy Badfast has Warrior front-end bumpers for sale right now. So,
and Billy Badfast...
Okay, Capital.
Yeah, Capital Bumpers.
Capital Bumpers for sale.
Billy Badfast will be returning as a sponsor here at the end of February for Throttled Up the Podcast. So don't forget about those guys and go check them out. You know, Billy Badfast Performance, it is the place to go, as said by Zach Burton. He is a Billy Badfast kind of guy. So him and Derek Bottoms.
Zach told me that Billy Badfast is his hero.
Yeah, well... That's, again, I'm just shocked that Zach wanted you to sign his forehead. I mean, I would think that it would be Bottoms and Billy Badfast. Yeah,
you would think so.
So anyway, obviously, Justin, sorry we got off track there with these guys, but you obviously have that family tradition in racing. You know, this whole family that is you've grown up around it. So why did you decide, though, that the next step was you wanted to be in a car?
Well, being around the track, growing up and stuff, and helping Grandpa in the shop and at the track and everything, I wanted to do it, but just the funds wasn't there. I mean, everybody worked hard for what they had, and, you know, growing up, we didn't really live on the good side. We, you know, average class, and just parents couldn't really afford it, and now I'm finally stable and everything else, and I actually sold my boat last year, and had the money in the pocket and bought another hole in the water. Just throw money at.
You will not believe who.
I was just going to say the same exact thing.
Either they sell a boat and buy a race car,
or sell a race car and buy a boat.
Yeah, it's one or the other. There's boats and race cars, like, they can't coexist.
Well, I think the thing is I think it's exactly what he just led on to there. everybody involved in this has an addiction to throwing money at something. Yeah. And it's either boat, race car, but or for us, podcasting is where we're tossing it now. But you're exactly right. It's Pete Abel sold his race car to buy a boat. We're selling boats to buy race cars. So, but the cool thing is, it's, you know, it's one of those where no matter what, you know, you make it happen to get it done. So,
and you know, being on all these Facebook pages and stuff, and I'm always on there looking around, and it's the same thing. Is somebody's trying to trade all their racing stuff for a boat, or got a boat on there trying to trade it for a race car?
Oh, or something. Yeah.
I just finally decided to get rid of the boat just because it was got to the point where I'd never really had a set schedule with work, with farming and stuff, and it was just difficult to really get a group of people that I knew I could count on. You know, call up Saturday morning, hey, good to go to the lake this weekend. And then, well, I'm already got plans or whatever. So the race car just a lot easier. I can hook up to it, go to the track, and there's always going to be some type of friend there. That's so.
Well, you know, the two best days a guy owns a boat, though, right?
Yeah.
The day he buys it and the day he sells it. So
that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no winner's circle at the lake.
No.
No matter how much you try and make one.
And, like, within, like, 3 days of selling the boat, the guy called me. He's like, hey, you know, could my mechanic call you and see what you've done to this boat or whatever, this, this, and that? And I was like, yeah, that's no problem. And he calls me. He's like, well, it wasn't your fault, but we blew the whole lower unit out on the lake. And, I mean, destroyed it. He sent me pictures and everything else, and he ended up dropping $2,200 in to fix it. So I was like,
you timed it perfectly.
I timed it right.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah. Know when to get in, know when to get out.
That's right, yeah.
So, obviously, so how long have you been in the car now?
Well, I actually bought it last year, Fair Weekend.
Okay.
Jackson County Fair Weekend. So I ran, I believe it was 8 point races and then run Fun Fest. So
now is that Chris
it's Chris Wade's old
that's
car.
What I thought. Yes.
So
yeah. Okay.
And what drew you, because you are, as Matt said, you're our first Hornet class driver on here, and I'll be honest, I have gained a new respect for the Hornet class that as a previous fan I probably didn't have. Getting the chance to watch, you know, what Bill Grant was able to do this year at Brownstown and a lot of the other drivers that were there, I probably got an appreciation for it a lot more than I ever had. And but what drew you to that Hornet class?
Well, I actually had the boat up for sale, and Chris Wade's dad had messaged me and asked if he'd be interested in possibly trading that car for the boat. And actually had a guy that was supposed to come that night to look at it and was very serious on buying it. And so it's like the guy showed up and handed me cash. So I was like, well, now I got the cash in the hand, still had a little extra after I went and bought the car. So ended up getting some more parts with it and everything else. And so it was just right there, spare of a moment. And I was like, well, we'll try it out. And I knew who owned it before. And I knew, I mean, it was built right and everything. So for the price that I got it at, I couldn't pass it up. So
had you drove anything on the racetrack before you rolled out there, you know, your first night at Brownstown?
Nope. Never have. Besides, I mean, I've raced four-wheelers and stuff like that, you know, around the farm and stuff like that, but nothing actually on an oval. So.
And what is it like the first time you strap in to go out?
Yeah, because you got to remember, we're huge fans, but we're both non-drivers, man. We've never been in a race
car. And I will say this, as much as all the different divisions are different, I don't care what anybody says, you're still strapping in a race car and you're still hitting the track for the first time.
All I know is when I pulled in there, I saw a lot of eyes just get real big, like softball size, because I was the new owner of Chris Wade's car, and a lot of people wanted that car.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, I had a couple people come over wanting to buy it right off the bat, like, while I'm at the racetrack, and I'm like, no, it ain't for sale. And so, you know, getting off the trailer and stuff and getting right there in the lineup shoot, I mean, I was shaking. I mean, here I am, never been on the track, nothing, just watching, you know, the uncle and grandpa, and I'm like, okay, well, we're going to go out here and do it, and, you know, And then as soon as I got off the track, I was like, yep, I'm ready to go again. Like, it just, I couldn't get enough of it.
Next Saturday night couldn't come fast enough. No.
and this may be, and you can tell me if it is, it may be a stupid question. I think what I would stress, like when I go watch the race, obviously all of the, you know, kind of the procedures of how you do things. I mean, hot laps and all of that and how many laps you run and those kind of things and the heat race. It's very natural sitting up there. I think if I was in the car, I would be thinking constantly, like, am I going to screw this part up? What do I need to do next? Does that play in any factor, or do you just go with the flow and see what happens?
I know when I first got out there on the track, I'm sitting there, you know, wasn't 100% sure when, you know, the firing and everything else, and it was like sitting there, okay. And then as soon as we take off, then you're wondering, okay, where's that car at behind you? And then you're just sitting there wondering who you're going to get into or whatever, because you don't want to junk anybody's stuff.
Right.
I mean, period. And being the first time out there on the track, that's all I kept having in my mind was waiting, you know, getting somebody's way, cause some type of accident or something. And, you know, over the time, it eventually come around. And
I would say the first few times, I would probably be more tired than usual because I'd probably be tense and stiff and gripping the wheel too much. And, you know, until you get that relaxed feeling.
You
go back to when you was 15 learning to drive, you know.
Anytime you do something new. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole time my hands, by the time I got done with the race, my gloves were soaked with sweat. And I was just like, finally, whenever I was able to take my fire suit and stuff off, you could feel the tackiness of just, and the dust settling because you're so soaked from sweat. You could just,
feel it all over.
Feel it all over. So
that's cool. I mean, that's got to be a cool feeling. So,
well, it is. So,
what do you think what's the most important thing you learned in the short time you were able to race last year?
Bolt check. That is number one thing, is bolt check. And just going over the car, absolutely going over the car. I got to the track and, you know, I went over and over and over and I thought I got everything and went to go change tires down and grabbed a hold of the spindle to take the wheel off, and it just shook real bad. And I was like, what in the world? Well, the castle nut on the lower ball joint was backed all the way off, holding on by two threads.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, oh, like, I just missed it. But it definitely, that's something that's got to be checked. I mean, the nut and bolt check every time. And
my brother wants to know if you heard noises in the car that wasn't there. Like, your senses was so, you know, intense that you was hearing things rattling or loose that maybe really wasn't.
Well, I mean, on the track you hear, I mean, it inside that car, just because, I mean, you got the doors out and everything to clear the door bars and the cage and stuff like that. So you get that rattling noise anyways. And so you'd always be like, okay, well, that's normal. And then, you know, sometimes you'd hear something, yeah, I don't think that's normal. And then you get off the track, and then you'd be sitting there looking and looking and looking, and then nothing'd be there. So,
I do want to shout out here real quick, as I talked about him before he joined, but Bill Grant is with us.
Yes.
And I do want to give a shout out to him. And Bill, you weren't on here when I was talking about it, but, you know, getting to watch you, especially this year, and the other guys in the Hornet class, definitely brought a new appreciation to me for what you guys do. So I do want to give a shout out. And Bill's got one, I know you brought it up at the banquet, Bill's got one of the coolest stories, you know, the race stories of the year after it was his first feature win, correct?
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
Had
to go to the hospital. Second feature win, the screws backed out of his glasses, and he raced most of the feature unable to see. Then he had the pretty much Talladega-style wreck coming out of turn two that one evening. So,
and I'll be honest, that's the whole reason why I've decided not to become a full-time race driver, is I'm just afraid my first feature win might end in the same way. And Bill looks like he's in better health than me, to be honest. So I'm afraid it might end me. And oh boy, I see you put smells are scarier than sounds.
That's with everything, ain't it?
I was gonna say
that's life.
Oh boy, I don't know what you're smelling, but we'll just leave that one at that. So we won't go any farther. But
I don't know what he's saying. You get the rear end grease burning up, or, you know.
Oh, I thought he was talking about in his race suit.
Well, I'm trying to uphold him here.
He did us a solid, so I'm going to try to be on his side for one.
You're always so nice to everybody. Well, you're a good guy. But I do think it's a good question. Matt's brother Mike brings up, do you have any superstitions on race day? Because I'm a former football coach, and I have, like, crazy superstitions. Like, I'm nutty when it comes to that kind of stuff. So do you have those on race day?
Yes and no. I mean, on the way to the track, if something has, from the time I've loaded up and on the way there, if something just doesn't go right then on the way there and at the track, then I'm starting to wonder the rest of the night what's going to happen. And it's just, you just, and then those nights you're just over, like, you just keep watching. And I think most of those nights that I don't think I probably raced the best I could have raced. And just because I felt like it probably was trying to watch too much, trying to keep from something happening. So.
And I do want to shout out, too. I see my buddy Dirk Smith has joined us here. And, Matt, I haven't even told you this yet, but here in a couple weeks, when we're going to have Marty O'Neill on here with us, Dirk is also going to be joining us. He actually has a night off of work, and he's going to be coming in and hanging out with us and asking some questions as well. So shout out to Dirk. I'm glad to see he's on here with us tonight. But, Justin, I'll ask you this, too, because what do you think – you said that, you know, obviously bolt check, and those are the biggest lessons you learned. What's the next step you think you need to take in your driving on the track?
Just, I mean, it's seat time, really. I mean, it's just seat time over and over and over. And when we're not on the track, it's best to be out there watching, you know, if you can catch the next heat race or whatever with the Hornets or whatever, just watching to see what everybody else is really doing, just to try to that way you get a feel for what the other drivers are doing. That way you kind of have an idea in your head, okay, well, this guy here, you know, he's running top five or whatever, and then this guy's running here in the back, and you kind of see if they're going to cross the track up and down, you know, just stuff like that that can really help.
Has any of them come to you and kind of took you under their wing and, you know, and tried to help you that way, or have you went to any of them and –
Shannon Walp and them guys over there at Haymaker Customs, they've right off the bat pretty much just started helping me out. Trent Adams, like I said, the guy that had built the car that I had last year that I bought from Chris Wade, he pretty much come over there right off the bat and was telling me, hey, this is what I did and this is what we ran. Here's a start, and then go from there and let me know what you need, what's it doing, and stuff like that. And, you know, finally towards the end of the season there, like Fun Fest and stuff, it just, I really got the hang of the ride, and it just, everything went smooth. But the main issue I was having last year was I kept blowing the front ride off, kept rolling it off, and finally end up getting a tire pressure that worked right, and end up not really, I was overdriving it into the corners and throwing too much weight to the right front, and it would just, I mean, dig in and roll the wheel off. And so I started letting off a little bit sooner and stuff like that, and it helped. So
I think that's got to be one of the toughest things, is to figure out that balance between, you know, and I, this is going to sound dumb because it's the, you know, the Ricky Bobby thing, but to, you know, to slow down to go fast, you know, yep. Understanding, you know, your control and your how smooth of a driver you are. I would think, and I know we were joking before about you and I being on the track together in cars at the same time, and Matt and us competing. I think that would be, as a young driver, the toughest thing to learn, because you just want to push and push and push.
Yeah. Blake Daniels asked, what number you are? You 4J?
Yeah, right? 4J.
Red and gray car there. So, yeah, he's the number 4J. Was the 4, what, 4W when you got it?
4W whenever, yes. I got it, and I cut the W off of it. And
made it to a J.
Yeah, made it to a J.
I do want to give a shout-out here, too, real quick, just on a side note. My buddy Juice is on here as well and watching, and gave us a shout-out. So, Juice, I appreciate it, buddy, and thank you for everything you do to help promote our podcast as well. So just wanted to shout him out as well. And Mike asks, are you good at taking notes? Do you keep meticulous notes race to race based on what you felt, what you saw, those kind of things?
I pretty much, after I get done at the track and, you know, that Sunday or whatever – I'm sitting there kind of just writing stuff down that what worked, what didn't work. And like I said, I would go back. I had in the Fastlane Productions, and I would just watch that over and over and over throughout the week, watching what I'd done from the previous Saturday to the previous Saturday, and just kept watching what worked and what didn't, and kept, like I said, we'd watch to see where everybody else was running, what I was running, and that's pretty much what I've been doing. I mean, it's just...
So you're saying the premium subscription there was well worth the money for you then for in the Fastlane. So.
Yeah. Shout out to one of our sponsors in the Fastlane Productions.
I was gonna, since he plugged them, I was going to help back it there, so... And the subscription pretty cheap too, isn't it?
You know, it's well worth the price what they're asking for it. And like I said, it's, I mean, you got live notes right there in front of you that you're able to watch what you're doing and what was working, what wasn't working.
And that's a great point that you just said with the subscription price, and not to continue to plug them, but when you start looking at the other, I mean, the National Touring Series and what it costs for some of those subscriptions. What, you know, in the Fastlane is asking for that premium subscription, the ability to watch every Saturday night's features at Brownstown is one heck of a
heat races and features.
Yes, heat races and features. Yes, you're exactly right.
My brother-in-law John wants to know who helps you at the racetrack. Are you one man band, or you got help? Or
well, I mean, my cousin kind of helps me out, and a lot, like I said, we pretty much all help each other there. Haymaker Customs. We got Shannon Wolf, Trent Adams, and Logan Salesman. And like I said, every weekend we're all there, pretty much. They'll come over and look at my car, and I can start going, like, we just go through all of our cars. That way, we're not looking at, you know, over, like, it's something easy to overlook. I mean, you keep looking at it, and you might not catch it, but, you know, they come over, look at it or whatever. They're more likely to catch something that I didn't catch and then go over to their car or whatever. So, we all pretty tight-knit, you know, group that works out.
Take us kind of through what your week is like as you prepare. Obviously, so let's say we finished the race on Saturday night. What's the rest of the week look like to get back again the next Saturday?
Well, pretty much Sunday's all unloading everything, and then normally we all work, you know, Monday through Friday or whatever. So normally we're off 5 or 6 o'clock, and most nights we're in the shop till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night throughout the week. So there's a lot of shop hours that's there that. You know, always changing something just to make sure that we don't have something break on us or bearing go out or CV axle go out, anything like that. So it's, I mean, well, it's a nonstop.
That's another comment my brother just asked, if the hub bearings wear a lot. Do you find a lot of wear in those from the stress, especially like your right front, you know, what you said he was going in too hard?
I pretty much change those about every other race.
Oh, really?
I mean, as cheap as they are to do it, it's better to do it and
than to lose it
than be sorry. So, and normally, like on the right rear, we got the safety hub to come off them caravans. So those get reinforced and stuff like that. So it's an actual full on bearing assembly on a spindle rather than just a pressed hub. And I actually had that one break on me last year.
Oh wow!
The pulled out the main stock mount because we normally just bolted in there with 916 bolts, grade 8 bolts. Onto the factory assembly, and sure enough, it broke on me, and I went out and just made my lap so I get my money for that night. And right off the bat, like five people dropped off the feature, so I was like, well, you know, I'll just go down here and just keep running circles, not, you know, running hard or anything, just keep it safe. And end up finishing, I think, 10th or 11th that night out of 20 cars, and I was broke, so that worked out for me. So
and, you know, the reason why I kind of asked your week is because I also want people to know.
Zach Burton said that AutoZone discontinued his lifetime warranty on hubs in Columbus and Franklin. So, they probably figured him out there.
Well,
so, Zach, I'm going to say this. Seymour might be hearing this as well. So, you might be down another AutoZone.
That was back when Zach was in the Hornet. Yeah. So, that's.
I got one of the parts store there in town that takes care of me that. You know, I don't get the warranty on it, but at the same time is what I'm getting them from them, the price, it's, you know, I prefer to go out there, spend that, you know, that little money and make sure I'm going to be good to go rather than.
Well, so. feel free to give them an advertisement there. That's, I mean, that's what we're here for.
That's one thing we talked is we're not really going to put that out there just because it's one of those that phone calls that come in, you know.
Yeah.
So I got a couple sponsors like that this year that, you know, on paper we're good, but we don't want it all over the car and everything else just because they don't want the phone calls and stuff like that. So
do you have any you can publicize?
Peak Lawn Care, they're out of Seymour, Indiana. Veteran owned, operated. Let's see here, I got their phone number. Phone number is going to be 812-216-6500. It's Peak Lawn Care. It's Paige Coop and Michael Bush there that run that. He's actually a previous military vet. Actually went in with him at the same time. Signed the contract the same day and everything. And
really? So. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So you also former vet.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. And you're a firefighter.
Yep.
Yeah, volunteer first responder. So. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for service in both ways.
Yes. I appreciate it, guys.
I mean that wholeheartedly. I'm going to ask you this on a flip side because I kind of know what you do, you know, as in the farm.
Yep.
For a career. How does that affect, you know, as we get into racing season, kind of gearing up here in the spring? I know I'm married to a farmer's daughter. So I know what happens when planting and harvesting season comes around. When the weather's right, there's only one thing you're doing. So how does that affect the timetable on the car?
Well, actually out there at the Engelau Farm, they are very family-oriented, and they pretty much bend over backwards for us guys out there that work full-time for them. And they normally let me off every Saturday on race day or whatever, and normally I'm out there at the shop and I normally working on the race car, make sure just going over everything, getting ready. And so if they need me or whatever, they'll call me or whatnot. But normally by 2:30, 3 o'clock, I'm off the clock and headed to the track. So they're very good about that for letting me off and everything else. So
that's amazing to work for employers that understand our addiction on Saturday nights being at the racetrack, and they work with you to try to get your, you know, because, you know, all of us that work at the racetrack, we all have full-time jobs on top of that. And it's, you know, our employers are all kind of understanding that, okay, yeah, he's got to bail out of here. So,
yeah, they are very understanding. I mean, like I said, they bend over for us guys out there, and they appreciate everything we do for them. And I highly appreciate everything they do for us. So it all works out. And like I said, it's a great place being out there. So,
well, and I can tell just talking to you too, even, you know, and it's awesome they do that, but you also get what planting and harvesting season is too. So you understand that, you know, when the weather's right, it may not mean you're not making it to the track, but like you said, if you're there on Saturday and they need something and the weather's right, it's go time until you have to leave to get to the track.
Yep.
So,
and there's a couple nights that, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not worried about if I make it or whatever. And then, you know, the soybeans get real tough at a certain time, normally right after dark and everything, and they just start getting damp and we just can't cut them. And there's been nights that I've got back to the farm and it's, you know, I call somebody at the track and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, how much more time before, you know, the heat race for the Hornet or whatever? And then they're like, oh, well, you got this much time. And, well, I've got the truck loaded up and we're going. And I pulled in and they've helped me unload. And there's been times that I've pulled in there that I had about 5 seconds to spare to get to the lineup shoot. So
no, that's the best thing about soybeans is you at least know there's a cutoff point. Yeah,
there's a cutoff point at some nights. So I took the advantage on a couple of nights.
Absolutely.
You know, I wasn't going to go out of my way to, you know, there. I understand the farming and stuff, and you know, if I'm on the clock, I'm making money.
Absolutely.
Going to the racetrack,
Yes. Racetrack,
I'm not. So
yeah,
you know, it didn't bother me either way. But I highly appreciate everything they did for me last year, and it's going to continue this year. So
it's funny though that you bring up the soybeans, because when my wife and I was dating, if we knew we were in the corn, don't even try and plan with somebody you're going out to dinner. But if you were in beans, if you planned, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, you pretty much were solid that you had everything cleaned up, put back in the barns, and you could go out to dinner or something. But if it was corn or something, if it's good, we'll see you later. So
yeah, there's several nights that actually last year that we worked until about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And it's just because, I mean, you know, we saw that in the forecast there's going to be 3-4 days worth of rain. That
yeah.
If we didn't go it now, we're going to be behind later on in the fall, so we're definitely not scared to run them out.
Absolutely. So I do want to talk about going into this season. You got some, you know, you talked about needing more seat time, and you got the opportunity this year to get in the car and kind of see how it was. What are the goals going into this year?
Well, right now I've been really debating on jumping up to a crate, and I know that's a huge jump, but money-wise, you're better off going to a crate because, I mean, the crates can travel anywhere around, and everybody's running them. And the Hornets, not everybody's running them, and the rules for, like, pure stocks and super stocks and stuff like that change so much from track to track, so it's you're better off going to a crate. And I know it's going to be a big jump, but you got to start somewhere and practice. I mean, it's going to be practice and practice and practice, but I think as of right now, I'll probably end up staying in a Hornet for this season and then just see what happens and see what falls in my lap. You know, something could fall in my lap tomorrow, but something may fall in my lap end of season. I don't know. I mean, life's a little crazy, so you never know really what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this time last year, you were looking for people to go to the lake with you.
Yep.
So. now you're looking for race cars. So, Matt, I do think I'll ask it because I know Mike asked it on here, and I do think it's worthwhile because you are the king of nicknames, and Mike asked, you know, what are we going to work out here for Justin?
I'm sure it's going to happen, but it's going to have to be one of those deals where
it just rolls off.
Something, you know, I'll be talking about him at the racetrack, and it just rolls off the tongue, and there it is. So, yeah.
Which the good thing is, see, if he said that about me, it would terrify me because what rolled off, I'm afraid, wouldn't be very good. For you, I think you're in but good.
Webb Lee got his in a conversation at the draw shack, you know, so it just depends on conversations we have and things I see.
I call you old man.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's something good and not nothing. Something bashing or something. Like.
Matt always has good nicknames.
Yeah, I'm not that guy that does any bashing.
No, if he was going to bash anybody, it'd be me. That'd be the only one.
Oh, I would do that on purpose.
Hopefully it comes from something good rather than...
Laura Brockman wants to know, well, we haven't had Rick Gum on here because since we won the episode. I do want to say happy birthday, Rick Gum.
Yeah.
I guess he's spending birthday at Thirsty's right down the road this evening, but happy birthday to him.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was Rick's birthday, so I hope Rick listens to the episode. He did know it was Throttled Up night because as soon as I walked in, he said, aren't you doing the show? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to eat dinner here before I go do the show, And I got to sit down there with him a little bit and, you know, have a few beverages and talk with him. But, huge shout out and happy birthday to Rick here today. And Rick will be back. There is no doubt Rick will be back. We just got to – I don't know if I can laugh that hard every week.
Yeah, that kind of hurt your ribs and your cheeks and everything else. So
Justin, I guess I'm going to ask you this too because I always find this interesting, you know – obviously the family connection, but growing up, who were those drivers that you looked up to?
Honestly, it's like I said, my grandpa. It was just, he always had stories after stories, and any place I went with him, there was always some type of story. Oh, hey, your grandpa done this, and you know, he done this and that and everything else. And actually in 2012, he actually got named Hometown Hero there from the Old Timers Reunion, 25th Street Speedway.
Oh, awesome.
So he's always had stories when it comes to racing. And like I said, and then going down to the shop with him, the gyms down there in Valonia and stuff, I was always excited. Because I knew what happened, what it was, what we were going to do. Because it was always, once we went down there, we normally help load up or whatever. So we'd end up going to the racetrack, and sure enough, we'd be helping Jim and everything else. So it was just being around Brownstown Speedway. And
oh, yeah.
Actually being right there instead of a television. So
much history, too, with with the Brownstown Speedway and everything there, you know, just you guys are hearing some extra noise this evening. Dustin is dog setting for a black lab who isn't used to being here, so he's a little nervous. So that's what the extra noise is right now. But 25th Street, you're way too young to ever get to see anything there, aren't you? You probably only remember the mall, don't you?
No, I never got to see any of that. But you know, just hearing the stories and stuff from the locals and stuff, especially going up there to the old timers reunion and stuff with them, and there was actually a couple times I think he ran off the track there into the river there. It was adjacent to that, and I guess he was underneath there for a good while.
Oh, really?
And he ended up getting himself out of the car and back up and everything, and ended up checking out good and everything else. But and then I think either before or after that, I'm not 100% sure, I've kind of got mixed stories, but another racer had actually rolled off the track there and went into the river there. And
oh, wow.
He actually ran out there and got him out before the emergency personnel even showed up and anything. So he's always had some type of story around. So
anything you've ever, my brother's asking this, been nervous about out on the track that you kind of get fearful over when you're in the car or on the racetrack, or you kind of put all that, I mean, you run into burning houses, so I'm sure, you know, that's no big deal there. So
yeah, I mean, you know, after you've seen somebody roll one of these Hornets and stuff and seeing the aftermath of it, it's really boils down to is you got to know that your cage is safe.
Oh yeah.
You can't just have some backyard welder or whatever put a cage in and expect it's going to hold up and put your life on it. So, you know, after you see one of them, and then at that same night, you always kind of, after you get off the track, especially during a heat race and it happens, you're always constantly looking over everything.
Right.
Making sure something don't break, especially that right rear. If that right rear or anything on that right side breaks, more like
you go for a ride. Yeah, so yeah.
It's... You really pay attention to that stuff. So,
I was going to ask this, and my brother just typed it in there too. Did your grandpa race at the hole up there in Columbus also?
Yes, that's what they the nickname. Depending on if you like the track or not, I think they went by the hole or the hill.
Yeah, well. It's so our grandma on the Staples side, actually, her house was, you could almost see the racetrack where it used to be from the hole there, and I've heard many stories that I even had drivers tell me up there that they would pay. After the racers, drivers, they'd give them $100 for every complete roll they could do on the front stretch after the races up here at the hole. So that's a pretty famous little place that I don't think you can see anything with it anymore. So
I think it was actually, I got it here, 1958. He actually won the open stock car feature up there at the 25th Street Fairgrounds. And then it was 1960s he started running the USAC sprint cars.
Oh, wow.
So... he was actually running, there's, I believe it's between the Chevy and the Offenhauser cars.
Oh, yeah.
So he's running Offenhauser. But, so.
I explained the extra noise this evening. Your dog's sitting there.
I heard you say, yeah, we're fostering a rescue pup. He may become Throttled Up Famous if we don't end up keeping him for the long term. He may become adoptable here on Throttled Up one night because... he is looking for his forever home, but I'm not willing to say he's not found it until the next couple of days. We'll see how things go.
Beautiful black lab, though.
He is, and his name right now is Abe, but he may change to Throttled, and he may end up being the studio dog. But I think my actual dog, who's here all the time, must have smelled something outside and started barking, so Abe started barking. So I sent them both out to chase it off. I don't know what it was, but...
I think overall, though, this season... I was very happy with what, I mean, the outcome was. I mean, there was, finished 11th in points.
Yes.
Ran 8 races out of 14 total point races. So, for running only a little over half, I was pretty happy. I mean, it was 19 points that separated me in 10th place. And if
that's
I would
have... That's pretty good, ain't it?
Yeah, I kept looking at it and looking at it, and then like right off the bat I like got way up there and I was like, whoa, like there's no way this is gonna be, like, you know. And me and Andy Brown, we pushed hard the last two races, and that last points race I ended up pushing it too hard. Like I said, I went back to driving it too hard in the corner and rolled the tire off in the heat race, and I really need to play second in that heat race to be able to, like, we was going to be real close to tying. And then once I got into the feature, then as long as I stayed in front of him at least two positions, I was going to be ahead of him. I mean, just slim on points. And me and him, I mean, pushed it hard for that whole race. And then he come over there and he's like, he shook my hand. He's like, man, that was a good race. And it was just straight up clean racing. I mean, we back and forth the whole time. And it felt good for somebody to come over and, you know.
I'm going to give a shout out to Andy, too. I think he's got a beautiful hand painted car. I mean, yep. You know, he's about the only hand painted car out there. And I can't remember about halfway through the season, he pulled in there at the draw shack. And I told him, I said, it looks so old school. Because his stuff's still hand painted on there, yep. So I really like that.
And I think that's probably the coolest thing is when you can get a guy, and we've talked to other drivers about it, that you trust to race with like that. That it's just good, hard, pure racing. Each one of you trying to get the better of the other one, and just how much fun it is. And I can't even imagine what it's like as a driver, as a fan. There's nothing better. To know that you're both going to be there at the end, and again, it doesn't matter to me whether it's first, second, or third, fourth, or fifth, sixth. If it's good hard racing, there's nothing like seeing that as you're racing for the checkers.
And I end up causing I got spun out or something. I can't remember. But anyways, I got stopped up on the track and ended up starting back last. So I was like 14th position, and right off the bat, within, the first lap to two laps there, I got myself back up there right behind Andy. And me and him had been, we rubbed and we got into each other's back bumper and stuff like that. And when he came back over and talked to me, he's like, I knew as soon as I felt that good nudge in the ass in there, he's like, I knew it was 4J back on my back door and he's going racing again. And so, it was a very fun night that night. And like I said, for him to come over there and we shook hands, we had a good conversation about it and everything else. And that's the stuff that I liked. Like, I mean, it was just, that night was probably one of the better nights. And so
it's obviously like racing with Andy then. And I don't want you to mention any names, but are there drivers that you get around the track that you really wish you weren't around at that time that you it's obvious you liked racing with him because you know how he races. Is there drivers you get nervous around? Like I said, let's not mention any names. That's just,
There is. And like I said, and I can't really say a whole lot. It was my first year racing, first time in a car. So I'm sure they're probably just as nervous as I was around them. So, and there was a couple of them that towards the end of the season, I figured out, it had been their first time being in the car or whatever, especially or on like dirt or something like that. So I can't say a whole lot about it. I mean,
right, because it was your first year too.
First year too. So, and I know, I'm sure I probably caused some accidents or something like that. But I mean, we all got to learn somewhere, and I mean, that's the that's honestly the class that, to do it.
So. And I'm not laughing at you at all.
Zach Burton said he don't like to race with bottoms, and I knew that answer before.
I'm telling you what
I think what we need to do is rent a boxing ring, and this
100% is where I was going.
And we'll do
it.
A throttled up
celebrity box off.
Yeah, Zach Burton and Derek Bottoms just get in there and
what? Well, yeah, 110%. And I'm going to throw this out now because I know that Oh Boy said earlier that if Bottoms joined tonight, he had a wager for him for Fun Fest. But I'm going to throw it out here right now. If we do the celebrity boxing, who are you taking, Bottoms or Oh Boy?
I'm taking Bottoms.
Boy.
And you see, there was no hesitation in that.
I know. You were very, very confident. All right, here's the deal.
Zach said, heck no, he's bigger.
Here, I'm getting ready to try and put my money behind Oh Boy to try and support Oh Boy. And he's already cut out of the fight before I've even got a chance to try and. I mean, I was getting ready to go, hey, we got this. I was going to pump him up a little bit here and nothing. Oh, wait, I got Bottoms. Okay. So I think they're, I'll put my money on Oh Boy.
No, I think he's taking Bottoms in the bet too.
Man, Oh Boy, we got to talk. We got to talk. That's probably my biggest disappointment of the night right there.
The next time we have old boy on, though, Bottoms is going to be on.
Oh,
also.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care what it takes because it'll be, we won't have to talk. We can just sit back. Well, we are at about an hour in already. And Justin, I'm gonna tell you that, first of all, I really appreciate you reaching out to us and coming on. We had talked several times about wanting to get our first Hornet driver on, and I saw, like I said, Bill was on earlier, and we still want to get Bill on, whether it's through a phone call or not. I know he's usually out of town.
He's on the road all the time. He's a working man.
Yeah, so we want to try and get with him and get him on as well. But, you know, I want to tell you what I'm so impressed with, and some of the questions I ask about what you go through the week and the things you think, is because I want people to see that it's not – it is a class where guys are still working, and they're still working to better their cars and get out there every Saturday night and put on the best show that is possible. And I appreciate that. I wish you the best of luck this year, no matter what happens. If something falls in your lap, awesome. If not, understandable. But I do wish you the best of luck. And
I hope everything goes well. Don't buy another boat. Stay away
from the boat.
No, I probably won't go back for a boat for... If anything, it's going to be a duck boat. That's pretty easy to keep up. So, and
again, everybody that's watching us, thank you. Thanks to all our sponsors. We will be back again here in 2 weeks on Wednesday night with Marty O'Neill.
Yes.
And then we will be back weekly.
I believe I have Mr. Barrow coming in before... The No Way Out. He was going, he actually wanted to come this evening, but he left this morning to go to Florida, which I don't blame him. So,
it's tough for me to argue with, too. Hang out with us or go to Florida.
Yeah. I'd leave in a heartbeat not to hang out with you, Florida. Man.
So, yeah. I mean, now, I'd have went with you to Florida last weekend when they were still at East Bay. I'd have been in then,
yeah.
But I think we've got some exciting things coming up, and don't forget, you know,
before we go off, I want to give a big shout out to the Chad Stapleton interview, you know, representing our hometown guys on MAV TV there to Total Chaos himself, you know, the anti-role model.
And I'm glad you brought that up because it's so funny because usually when my wife is at home, she does join the Facebook Live and kind of follow things. And I was telling you the other day that I got her to – she watched a lot of the Winter Nationals with me on TV, and she really actually got into it. But when Chad was in that race and she kept seeing it, and I said something about Chad, good line or something. I forget what I even said. And she goes, that's not the Chad Stapleton that comments on your podcast all the time, is it? And I go, yeah. And she's like right there on TV, and I'm like – yeah, same guy that makes all those comments on Wednesday nights on the podcast. That's him. So, yeah, huge shout out to Stapleton and all the guys. And speaking of my wife, it looks like she just logged in as I talked about her, which is almost scary because she must be.
She's like Google and Facebook. She listens even when she's not online.
Oh, yeah. This is.
You know. Have you ever Googled something and get on Facebook? And it
gives you the ad?
Yeah, it gives you the ad that you just looked at, you know, so it's.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you Google for. So she'll be coming home and saying, where'd you eat dinner at? Heard you talk to Rick Gum tonight.
Yeah,
so.
Well, she already knows.
But. So, yeah, again, everybody, thank you. We're excited for the race season to start. Don't forget the Indiana Icebreaker, March 16th, Brownstown Speedway, followed up the next weekend.
Friday night.
And Saturday night, all in 25. Friday night, No Way Out 40 on Saturday.
Full shows both nights.
And I will say this, and I think Matt and I can both agree on this. We give each other a lot of crap back and forth between the open wheel and the late model guys, but... That's two weekends that you don't want to miss at Brownstown.
Oh, that's a fact.
I don't care if you're late model guy, sprint car guy, getting to see, I mean, and Brownstown's great every weekend, but getting to see all those guys in those two weekends right off the bat, there's nothing like it.
And if weather permits, two weekends of practice there, the first two weekends in March, what is that, March 2nd and 9th, I think?
Yes.
Jim's going to have the track open for practice on Any class, any dirt car that you need to turn laps in, It was exciting last year. Justin Bowling, first time I ever seen him in a car, was in practice last year. So kind of look forward to see who's in new places and what there on practice day. So don't forget about that either.
And I do want to shout out to you as we talk about the No Way Out. Obviously, I talk about me being a sprint car guy, and obviously exciting news about Briscoe and Dave Darlin hooking up. And you were so kind. You saw the new paint scheme, which I've talked so much about what Chase Briscoe Racing would look like this year, and sent it to me. And just want to say you and I have talked about it. I'm stoked. I think it is sweet looking. I think it looks like he's down to business. And with Dave Darlin in the car, they're going to be a lot of fun to watch this year.
It's not the red and white that you wanted, but it's a car that looks like it means business setting still.
It's old school. Oh, yes. It's not flashy. It's not look at me. It's you'll see me parked in victory lane. And I think with Dave Darlin in the shoe, I think they're tough to bet against.
People's champ, man.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. I hope everybody has a great week. Thanks for joining us. Justin, best of luck with everything. Anytime you ever want to come back on,
don't be a stranger.
We'd love to have you back.
All right, well, thank you, guys.